Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 24. The Bible says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was in the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with the swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the privilege we have to be here. Thank you for your word that we've just read. I pray that you'll add to the blessing of the reading of your word this evening. Lord, I pray that you'll help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight that's lost without you, this might be the night they'll be saved. That one, it may just be discouraged. Lord, this might be the night they be encouraged, Lord, and realize that you care for us, Lord, and it's you love us, Lord, in spite of what we are sometimes, dear Lord. And I just pray that your will be done here this evening. Help us now for just a little bit. We'll give you the glory and praise for all that you do and all that you accomplish. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. You can be seated. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14, said, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." I want to preach for just a little bit tonight and use just a few passages or verses from this passage of Scripture. I want to preach on the progression of backsliding. The progression of backsliding. Now, we know that if you've been saved for very long, you know that every one of us is in constant danger of backsliding. And while the word backsliding is not mentioned in the New Testament, we know that the principle of backsliding is when we get away from God. We know that in the Old Testament it's mentioned several times. It's mentioned some 17 times there in the Old Testament. Jeremiah mentions it 13 times, and 7 times in Jeremiah 3 where he's talking to Israel about their backsliding from him. Hosea mentions it 3 times in Proverbs 1 time that I read before you're hearing this evening. That word backslide means to back and slide, to fall off, to apostatize, to turn gradually from the faith and practice of Christianity. A backslider is an apostate, one who falls from faith and practice of religion. And so we know that the principle of backsliding, we can experience that in our own life. We hear a lot of people talk about being backslid tonight. And we see a lot of people that we talk about and say, well, they backslid on God. A lot of them ain't backslid, they just never have slid forward. This is a problem. Those that can get out there and God never deals with them and they just go on in their way. We know that we're not their judge, but we judge the fruit. I mean, if God, He says He loves those that He chastens those that He loves. And we can't get very far away from God. If we belong to Him, He begins to speak to us. When we get in that backslidden condition, but we're all in constant danger, especially in this day and hour that we're living in. If we don't guard our relationship with God, we could be backslid for the weeks out. I mean, here's these disciples that walked with Jesus for some 3.5 years, and we find several points mentioned in these verses of Scripture where in reality they were progressing in the state of backsliding. We know that when they took Jesus that most of the disciples fled from Him and just went their different ways because of fear. You know, fear causes us to backslide if we're not careful. Fear will get us out of the will of God. And I'm glad, though, that the Bible has said that we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. If we keep that in our mind and in our heart and realize what God has done for us, that He can help us during these times of temptation and when situations come up in our lives, if we'll guard our relationship or our fellowship with Him, there's no reason for anyone here tonight to backslide on God and to get out of His will. But we got to keep in memory that every one of us is in constant danger of it. If we're not careful, we've been looking through the book of 1 Timothy on Wednesday nights, and we talked a little about the love of money. I'm going to tell you, the love of money can cause you, if you're not careful, to get backslid. You get your heart set on making money, and you let money get a hold of you. If you're not careful, you'll get out of the will of God. I've seen a lot of people that could make that extra overtime on Sunday. They had the choice. You know, some people don't have the choice. They have to work every once in a while. I understand that. I'm not fussing at anybody that has to work on Sunday, but these folks that gets the love of money and they just want more of the almighty dollar, and they'll neglect the house of God. They'll neglect their families to make more money, then they're in danger of backsliding. They get out of the will of God real quick. We need all church we can get today. I believe that passage over there in Hebrews 10:25 is very very relevant for us today. Not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day of approaching. I believe that's the key in this day and hour. So much more as you see the day approaching. We need God. We need church. Hey, we need to pray. And I believe that if we'll get our heart where we need to be, that God will allow us to be in church on Sunday morning, and we won't let the love of money keep us from God's house and from getting what He wants us to have. Love of the world. James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? There's something wrong when people just, they're comfortable in this world. The Bible says we're not of this world. We're in this world. We have to deal with this world. The Bible, Jesus said if we didn't, we'd have to go out of this world. I mean, we're going to have to come in contact with, hey, but all of our friends ought not be worldly friends. Hey, we ought not be comfortable around that worldly crowd all the time. I tell you, I get real uncomfortable when I get in places where you can just sense the worldliness and the oppression of Satan, and you see people that they're drinking and they don't have no thoughts of God whatsoever in their mind. It's just having a good time. It's just enjoying the pleasures of this world. Spring break's coming up, and I'm going to tell you, hey, the love of pleasure and immorality and all this stuff, they'll flock to the beaches down in Panama City and different places. They'll strip off their clothes and they'll party and they'll have a good time, they think. They think they're enjoying life. A Christian has no business partying with that crowd. Love of pleasure. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 talk about demons. Paul said, demons having loved this present world hath departed unto Thessalonica. What that love of the world was, I don't know, but it was something. It could have been love of money. It could have been just a love of pleasure. It just could have been the hardships of serving God and the love of the world. He just couldn't get away from it, and he just departed and he left them. One place he was with Paul. You say it'll never happen to me. You better be careful what we say. We're all in constant danger of backsliding, especially with the pressures of life that's on. A lack of faith will cause you to backslide. When we get to the point we just don't believe this Bible anymore, we don't believe that God can and God will do what He said He can do. When we get to where we don't have the faith to believe that God can deliver us from the temptations that we're faced with. He's done said there's no temptation overtaking you but such as is common to man. We've got to have faith to believe that God can deliver us from temptation. We've got to guard our relationship. We've got to guard our fellowship with Him, or we'll fall into the temptations and the snares of Satan. There's better people than you and I that's fell into the snares and temptations of Satan because their faith grew weak. God can still send revival. I believe that. I said on Sunday, if I didn't believe if God could send revival, I'd go to the house. I'm expecting Him to send revival. And if we ever lose faith, hey, that God can and that God will send revival, we're in trouble. That's our only hope for this world. It ain't the Republican Party, sure don't. That's not our hope. And the Democrats, surely it's not our hope. Them Democrats, they're different than them old Democrats used to be back 100 years ago. They were some of these old-timers. They were hardcore Democrats. Debbie's daddy was a hardcore Democrat, but I promise you, if he was alive today, I don't think he'd vote for one of them Democrats. And I'm not trying to endorse nobody today, but I'm going to tell you, when we get to endorsing, when we get to accepting all this crowd that's legalizing homosexuality and consenting to abortion and all this liberal views that's in this world today, we're in trouble. God's our only hope. Jesus coming back is our only hope. God putting somebody, having mercy upon us, and putting somebody in the office. And we can't lose faith that God will have mercy upon America. So we see that every Christian is constant danger because of some of these things. There's other things. But let me say this. God loves us even when we fall and when we fail. I'm glad that He's a loving God, and He's not just standing around ready to beat us down and to throw us away and to put us up on the shelf and not use us no more. I'm glad that He's a God that's forgiving. He's a God that loves us, and He loves us even when we fall and even when we fail. If we fall, we ought to get back up on our feet. If we fall in a weak moment and we get in a trap, hey, we ought to just confess it to God as sin and get up and go on. David, a man after God's own heart. He said over there in Psalms chapter 37, verse 23 and 24, he said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." I'm glad the Lord's holding you and I. Hey, if He took His hand off of us, there's no telling where we'd be tomorrow. I'm glad that He's a loving God. He knows what we're made of. He knew what we was made of when He saved us. But yet in His mercy and His love, He forgave us of our sins. He's forgave us of our past sins. He forgave us of our present sins. And He's forgiven us of our future sins. God loves us even when we fall. You can find passages in the Old Testament of how He talks of His love for Israel. Even though they went after those idols and they set up groves, His love was toward them. Hosea chapter 14 verses 1 and 9 talks about His love for Israel. Psalms chapter 89 verses 27 through 34, we'll not go to them for the sake of time, but God loves His people. And He loves you and I. Even when we fail and when we fall, God still loves us. I'm glad to be able to say that this evening, that we serve a loving God. So let me give you just a few things about the progressiveness of backsliding this evening, and then we'll go to the house. Number one in this passage of Scripture, number one, when one becomes self-centered, we're in danger of backsliding. Verse 24. Even the disciples that had walked with Jesus. This is the night that He's betrayed, and we see this strife that comes among them. Said, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." When one becomes self-centered, they become prideful. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and froward mouth do I hate." Proverbs 11 and verse 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." 13 and verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." We see that very thing happening here among the disciples here on this night that Jesus was betrayed. There was a strife among them of which should be accounted the greatest. Hey, ain't that just like flesh? We get to wanting, thinking, who's the most spiritual? Who's the greatest among us? And Jesus answered them. He said, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth." Jesus was the greatest among them. He should have been sitting there. They should have been serving Him. Yet He was serving them. He was washing the disciples' feet. And here this strife raises up against them. Who's going to be the greatest among them? We see that several places through the Gospels where they talk about who can sit on the right hand and left hand. James and John's mother come. Wanted to get him to say, "Go ahead, let James and John sit on your left hand and one on your right hand in your kingdom. You know how great they are. They've been true to you. They've been with you. Pride. When we compare ourselves with others, we become self-centered. You get to looking at yourself and stacking yourself up beside somebody else, you might look pretty good. But when you get to lining yourself up with Jesus, we all fall way, way, way short. We might look pretty good lining ourselves up with our brothers and sisters, but when we look at Jesus, we're far spread apart. Luke chapter 18, verse 11 to 13. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Hey, when we compare ourselves one to another, we're getting in a state of backslidden condition. When we're concerned only with ourselves. You know, over in Luke chapter 15, I'll not turn over there for sake of time this evening, but when we begin to be concerned only with ourselves, that elder brother, when his brother come back, and his father received him, the father received him. And that elder brother, he was jealous. He heard the music. He told him, the father threw it up to him and said, this your son that's divided your living with harlots, said you've received him back. Said, I've been here with you all along. You never threw a party for me. You never killed a fatty calf that I could celebrate with my friends and party. He should have been concerned that his brother had come back, but he was more concerned with himself. Hey, that's the way we are. We're more concerned with ourselves than we are with our brothers and sisters a lot of times. Hey, we're progressing to a state of backsliding when one becomes self-centered. When one becomes self-confident. Verse 33 and 34. And he said unto him, wait a minute, verse 31, let's just back up and read that verse 31 down through 34. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. See, Jesus already knew what Simon was going to do. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what Simon was made of. Simon had been there, that old rough fisherman, he had been there. He knew he was going to cut off that servant's ear. He knew what Peter would do. He knew what Peter was made of. Peter said, verse 33, he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And Jesus said, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. So we see Peter, he became self-confident. He said, Lord, I'll not leave you. He said, I'll go with you. I'll even go with you to death. How many people have you ever heard, boy, I'll never leave the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart. He's done so much for me. I'd never walk away. I'd never treat Him that way. Yet we see time after time. I'm talking about the progressiveness of backsliding. Here we see the disciples with Jesus. They've just participated in the Passover lamb. They broke bread together, and Jesus has instituted Lord's Supper. And here Peter's making his great boast, his self-confidence. I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll go with you unto death. But then just a little bit further, we'll find out what happened. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it said, the heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? Psalms 51, verse 5 said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother deceive me. Hey, we're all made of flesh. We all came into this world the same way. We were all born the same way. and without grace and without God in our hearts and our lives, no telling what we'd do before morning's over. The progressiveness of backsliding. When one becomes self-centered, when one becomes self-confident. Then number three, when one becomes sleepy in service. Verse 45 said, and when he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. So we see they've come to the Mount of Olives. Jesus has went out and praying, and he has made that great prayer there in verses 40 down through 42. Where he says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 44 said, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. When one becomes sleepy in service, that's a sad state to be in. There's a lot of people that's got groggy in their spiritual life. When we fail to pray, I mean, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How many of us pray enough? When we begin to slip up in our praying, we've become sleepy in our service. We pray little, we have little power. We pray a lot, we have great power. We can't have power without praying. And when we get cold and indifferent, we begin to backslide. The first thing that leaves and goes is our prayer life. We fail to pray like we should. We fail to pray about situations. We fail to pray about divine encounters that the Lord would place people in our paths that we could witness to. We ought to pray that every day. And so many of us, and so many times, we fail for guidance to begin our day. At the workplace or wherever it might be. So we see when one becomes sleepy in service, when we fail to pray, when we fail to watch. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Matthew 26. And he cometh to the disciples and find them asleep, and saith unto them, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This flesh is weak. I'm going to tell you, we need to stay on our toes today. 1 Peter 5 and verse, we need to stay on our knees, not our toes. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction is accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We fail to watch a lot of times. We need to watch because the devil, he's looking for those times when we become unwatchful in our relationship, when we fail to guard our fellowship with God, when we fail to guard our testimony, when we fail to look for the traps and the tricks of the devil in our lives. He's after your family tonight. He's after your family. We've got to be watchful. We've got to watch for those signs. We've got to watch for those kids when they begin to get caught up in the world and the things of the world. Hey, we need to be on guard, and we need to be watchful, and we need to know that we've been praying and doing all we can. When we fail to watch, when one becomes sleepy in service. Hey, there's a lot of people who become sleepy in service. I've seen churches that have turned because someone failed to watch, and they failed to see these things creeping into the house of God, and they began to see, they failed to see when the devil began to move them a different route in a different way, and getting them away from the Word of God and the things of God and preaching and the teaching of the Scriptures and believing that God still can and will work. When one becomes sleepy. I'm talking about the progressiveness of backsliding. And we're fixing to get to the main thing where Peter got to. Number four, when one walks afar off. When we begin to get self-centered, when we begin to get self-confident, when we become sleepy, when we ought to be praying and we ought to be watchful and we let our guard down, that's when we begin to walk afar off. They come and they've taken Jesus. Judas has betrayed Him with a kiss here. And they've taken Jesus and Peter, he begins to walk afar off. He's trying to watch and see what's taking place. And there in verse 54 said, "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." Look what happens, though, the progressiveness of when you begin to get away from God and you begin to get away from where you can't hear His voice and when you can't feel His presence and when you can't see His hand upon your life. Peter walked afar off. He followed afar off at first. Have you ever seen people begin to follow far off? They begin to miss a little church here and they begin to miss a little there. They begin to take Sundays and they begin to go to the mountains, you know, and they begin to do their thing on Sunday and neglect their spiritual life and begin to get involved in other things. Have you ever seen that? They're basically getting to where they're walking afar off. And then the next verse, the Bible said, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him. You know, when we sat down among the enemies of God, in reality, we're really denying the Lord. We're denying His grip on our life, His hold on our life and the responsibility that we have to Him. He sat down among them. Verse 56 said, "But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew." What Jesus had said would happen, happened. So, when one walks afar off, what begins to happen? What begins to happen? When one gets to walking afar off, when one becomes unhappy in the service of God. You see people begin to get unhappy around the house of God, don't have that joy in their heart like they used to. You begin to see them miss here a little bit. They get to dabbling around in this. This begins to get more important. They begin to get unhappy. They don't ever want to do anything anymore. They miss Sunday school first of all. And by the way, I think Sunday school is important. That's a part of the church program. And that's basically, most of the time, not all churches, but basically that's the only discipleship program a lot of churches have. That's why it's such a great responsibility to teach people. And to have teachers that can teach the Word of God, to tell them what the Bible says about their relationship with Him, what God expects of us, and what's taking place in their life, because most of the time we don't have a discipleship program. People get saved and we wonder what happens to them. A lot of times we don't never indoctrinate them. Hey, we don't teach them what took place in their heart, how God come into their heart, He's forgiven them of their sin. We don't teach them about that old man, that new man. And then when they get out there in about a week or so, or maybe the next day, hey, they find out that that old man's still there. He raises up on them. And the devil begins to attack them. The devil begins to talk to them. He said, "Why, you ain't saved. You didn't really get born again. You just had a little emotional experience. I stuck you. I'll give you that little feeling." But I'm going to tell you, when we teach people what's taking place, the Holy Ghost has worked in their heart and they've come and they realize that they've trusted Jesus. They've done what the Bible said. With the heart, man believing to righteousness, with the mouth, confession made unto salvation. And that we teach them that what God does, He does forever. And that old man is still there and he's got to be reckoned dead. He's got to be crucified. He's got to be mortified on a daily basis. And that we just can't do as we used to and we can't do as we please. Or we won't have peace in our heart. How many times have you ever been in that shape? When one begins to walk afar off, when one becomes unhappy in service of God. I tell you what, I'd rather be in service of God than anything. I'd rather be around God's people than anybody. I've been in them places, I just don't feel comfortable. Out there around those type people that's lost and on their way to hell, far as just fellowshipping with them. I mean, I want to witness to them and tell them about Jesus, but to doing the things that they do, I don't feel comfortable. I feel comfortable around God's people in God's house and doing the things that God's called us to do. One's walking far off when they become unhappy in the service of God. One's walking afar off when one becomes unresponsible. Unresponsive in stewardship. And I'm not going to hammer on that. I'm talking about our time, our talent, our tithes. We've got a responsibility to give back to God. Our time and our talent. If we've got a talent, we ought to utilize it. I forgot about him was going to play. We're going to have Gabe's going to play for us here in just a minute. He's learning to play the piano and he wants to play us a song. I meant to do that earlier. But when we become unresponsive in our stewardship. The Bible says, moreover, it's required of stewards that we be found faithful. Whatever God's given us, we need to be faithful with it. Thank God for some kids that'll utilize the talents that they. Hey, if you can sing, you ought to sing. You ought to sing out. Y'all not hold back. I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot easier to sing these songs if you sing out than it is to hold back. I learned that a long time. I used to be full of pride. When we first started, they tried to get me in the choir. I used to wouldn't get in the choir. I was just backward. I didn't want to be up there, Brother Keith. And I wouldn't hardly sing. I was just bashful. And I found out it's a whole lot easier to sing if you sing out. Than it is to hold back. You know, give it your all. If you'd ever told me I'd be up here preaching, I'd have said, you're crazy. Back yonder. But God can change our heart. We begin to walk, when one walks so far off, we become unforgiving toward the saints. You know, there's a lot of people got animosity toward other people. They have an unforgiving spirit about them. Just because someone done them wrong. We're walking afar off when we're unwilling to forgive people hey, that's offended us. Bible says, pray for them that despitefully use you. I don't believe we can be right with God and not have a forgiving spirit. No matter what somebody's done. You say, well, they're just troublemaker. Well, I don't want to tote them around on my back for the rest of my life and have them in my dungeon, do you? Hey, there's a lot of people that's walking afar off and they're unforgiving and they're toward other Christians and they're toting someone on their back. They've got them in their dungeon and they're miserable as that person is. I hope we don't have nobody around here like that. That'll hinder. Did you know that'll hinder? Just as sure as chapter 7 of the book of Joshua, Achan, he took of that Babylonian garment, he had that hid in his tent. And Israel, they went up against that them Amorites, up against Ai. And they whooped them, man. That little handful, they said, oh, they just a few men up there. We can beat them. Let's just don't send up all the men. It wouldn't matter how many they sent up. They was fixing to get whooped because they were sin in the camp. Yes. And I'm going to tell you, unforgiving spirits will hinder the work of God. It'll hinder the progress of a church. And when people begin to walk afar off, hey, they'll have an unforgiving spirit toward others. We'll bury the hatchet, but we'll leave the handle sticking up. We'll go over and pull that thing up every once in a while. When one walks afar off. When one becomes unembarrassed about sin, they're walking afar off. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Let's turn over there and look at that. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 15. Jeremiah 6:15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Can I tell you, we've lived to see a generation that is unembarrassed about sin. Sin don't bother people much no more. We've seen so much of it on television. We've seen so much nudity. We've seen so much wickedness. We've seen so much drinking. We wouldn't dare not let somebody come in our living room and drink or cuss, but yet we'll have it on our television. We'd kick somebody out of the house real quick, wouldn't we? Sure. Sure we would. But when one becomes unembarrassed about sin, not studying the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 said, let's hear the conclusion. Back up just a verse there. Said verse 12 said, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. I'm going to tell you, it's weary to study sometimes. That's probably the hardest work you'll ever do, is to sit down, get your mind clean, get your mind off the things of the world, and get in the Word of God and begin to study. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. When one becomes unembarrassed about sin, when one not studying the Bible, not interceding for one another, not praying for one another, hey, when one becomes unconcerned about sin, we're walking afar off. We ought to be concerned about our schools. We ought to be concerned about our nation. Sin is rampant. Homosexuality, men can marry men, women can marry women. We've accepted it. What's next on the agenda? What's next? You say, that can't nothing get no worse. Oh, yes, it can get worse. It can get worse, and it will get worse if the Lord tarries is coming, unless some people get concerned about sin and what it's doing to our nation, what it's doing to our children, what it's doing to our churches. Our churches are being destroyed because of sin. Don't bother us no more. Then when one begins to walk, you can know one's walking afar off when one's unprovoked by the Savior. Verse 61 and 62. Oh, Peter, he had something in him. I heard a guy say one time at a watch night service, it was a bunch of singers, and he got to talking about Peter and where Jesus had told him over there. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. He said Peter wasn't even saved at that time. I thought, how stupid. Peter walked with Jesus. I mean, he was saved. That unconverted, that word means to turn around. Peter got away from God. He began to walk afar off from God. He sat down and warmed himself by the enemy's fire. He denied Jesus three times, but you get down to verse 61 and said, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter, here's the key, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He had a repentant heart. He had a repentant heart. This same man that denied the Lord Jesus three times before the cock crew, this same man stood up on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Ghost had descended. He stood up and the 11 with him, and he preached that great message, and some 3,000 people got saved. Peter was saved. He just got backslid. He got out of the will of God. Hey, if Peter can get backslid, you and I can get backslid. We better stay on our knees. We better stay close to God. But when we're unprovoked by the Savior. 1 Peter 1:16 said, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." We ought to be provoked by the Scriptures. We ought to want to please Him. We ought to want to be like Him. And the Bible talks about one of these days we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to be like Him. Won't that be something? But we ought to be provoked by the Savior, by His love, what He's done for us. We ought to be provoked to live for Him. We ought to be provoked to walk with Him. Hey, we ought to be provoked by His love to talk with Him and have a relationship, to guard our relationship on a regular basis, on a daily basis, that we can have that victory in our hearts. Stay close to Him. And not backslide in the last hours of the game. I've seen people. I mean, they served God all their lives, and then toward the last part of their life, they backslid and get away from God. I don't want to do that, do you? Hey, I want to be like the Apostle Paul, be able to say, "I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." People are looking. They're watching us. And I guarantee you, they'll pick you out when you backslide. They might not make too many comments about your life, but you let one of them get a hold of somebody that's backslid, and they'll rip them up. And they'll use that to their benefit. "Yeah, they said they was a Christian. I knew that wasn't going to work. I knew they wasn't real." Amen. Well, prove them wrong. Yes, amen. Miss Sarah, come on to the piano. And then we're going to get Gabe up here. He's going to play us a song before we leave. I'm glad he's learning to play the piano. We need some pianists to come along. One of these days, Miss Sarah, she's going to go off the scene. We need somebody to take up that seat there behind that piano. Who knows? It might be Gabe, maybe the pianist of this church one of these days.